All right, y'all know I try and be real with you in terms of like the struggles I go through and how I mess up and things I do wrong, but then try and make it right with God and with people. So this was like last week. I was so tired and I went and laid in bed. And you know what happened?
I was asleep.
What's that?
You fell asleep.
No, I was wide awake. And I was like, dang, what is going on? And I was like, is this spiritual warfare? I'm like, because warfare hits my sleep a lot. That's just where I get nailed. But I was like, is this spiritual warfare? I was like, what is going on? And I was laying there and I was like, I'm not going to fall asleep. I was like, I better get up and pray because something's up here. So I got my exercise mat next to the bed. I unrolled it and just put it on the ground. And I just bowed down before the Lord. I was like, what is going on here? And I think probably after at least an hour of just like being on my face before him, he spoke to me. It was a scripture, but I didn't know where it was at. He said this to me. He said, in quietness and trust is your strength. And I was like, oh, that's a Bible verse. And I said, oh, I need to be quiet before you and I need to trust you. And I literally for the next hour, I just meditate on that verse on my face before him. And then he gave me another verse. He said, basically said, be still and know that I am God. Which is one from Psalms, right? And so I knew, like, he was telling me, like, Jared, you need to rest. Like, you've been plowing so hard. You've been on your spiritual bulldozer. That's what Tim said. You're on your bulldozer, and you're just going. And I look over the past year, I'm like, I didn't really take much time to rest. Like, I kept my Sabbath really well, but not, like deeper rest that I would need. And I felt like I got benched. God's like, you're benched. You need to learn how to rest. Because I'm trying to balance out what is supernaturally empowered that I'm living in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then where is like my humanity, like say, all right, because Jesus had to rest too. Like where do I need to rest? So I was on my face at O Dark 30 for at least 2 hours. Because I went up in the kitchen and I was like, oh, it's past 1 a.m. I was like, it's been at least 2 hours. But what's interesting, and I want to highlight this for us, is like, God didn't speak to me right away. Like, I had to be on my face for an hour before he spoke to me in a way that I could hear. And he said, in quietness and trust is your strength. And then he said, be still later, know that I am God. And it was like, in the waiting, he spoke. But I had to humble myself. And I'll say this too, like, when you humble yourself, it attracts God's presence and it attracts his voice. So when you humble yourself before him, it'll draw him in. So we were looking at Isaiah 30, 15 through 18. The context for that is we got Israel, who God is speaking to, and then we got Assyria, which is a really large army that's coming their way, that's going to come attack them. And then you got Egypt, who they turn to, who's to the south. So you got this huge Assyrian threat. You got Israel turning to Egypt, and it says that they didn't consult God in the verses before. And it said that they didn't want to listen to God's prophets. They didn't want to listen to God's word that was being spoke to them. And they basically told the prophets, like, stop telling us God's word and stop telling us about this narrow path. And it was interesting because Jesus uses that narrow path language when he's speaking too. So basically, they didn't want to listen to anything that God had to say, but rather they wanted to go their own way and solve their own problems. And because of this, and this is serious, like, hear this out. Basically, God said, you're going to get wrecked. Because you've heard me say, like, people think God is like this big fluffy teddy bear. But then God just told Israel, like, you're going to get wrecked. Like, you're going to get totally destroyed. So we have to understand who God is as we read, like, scripture as a whole. That God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same. So let's look at verse 15 here. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence or trust is your strength. But you'd have none of it. So there's always these two ways that are highlighted. There's God, you can do it God's way, or you can do it your own way. And that's what JR was talking about when he shared for Jesus at work. There was his way of wanting to do things, but then he's turning things more over to God. He's going deeper in God's way. And God's way is always going to be the opposite from the world's way. And the world's way will always be opposed to God's way that he has for you as you seek him. So if a huge opposing army was coming your way, like, what would you do naturally?
Run.
Okay, we had to run over here. Would anyone try and arm up at all? couple people know. People would hopefully not surrender. I don't know. There's different. Rick's over here ready to fight, right? So we have all these like responses, and the idea is like you're gonna do what you think is best in the moment to get saved, to protect yourself. I mean, wouldn't you go to an ally? Like if you think about what's going on in Europe right now, in Eastern Europe, with Russia's incursions, and people are starting to turn to each other and say, hey, we need to band together with what's going on, right? So they're turning to each other for support. So when you seek God, God's way of giving you a solution most likely will not be logical. Like it's not, the math isn't gonna add up. It's not gonna be what you think you should do, because God is gonna have a different way, because God's wisdom is different from the wisdom of people. And when you read through James, it says that even the wisdom of people is actually rooted in the demonic. So you got to seek God for God's wisdom to do what he wants you to do. So here's what he told Israel to do. And this is the opposite of what the world's going to tell you to do. He said this. He said, return or repent and rest. Find your salvation. You know what the world's going to tell you to do? Work harder. Right? The world's going to say, work harder. Burn yourself out, put in the 60, 80 hour weeks and get it done. But God says that's not the way to do it. He says, return to me. In the Hebrew, if you want to nerd out for a second, this actually means turning from self-reliance. Like, so turning from relying on yourself to turning to God, to relying on God. Rest is this. It's a settled state. It's a calm state. So I shared on Friday night when we gathered for prayer at our house, we literally were like an hour in silence just being before the Lord. If you could have been there, if you weren't there, his tangible presence came in the room and came on us, and the settled state of calm filled that space. It was powerful. And I couldn't help but, I wanted to do things. I had this plan I thought we were going to do. But then God showed up and said, we're going to do my plan. We're going to rest. And we're going to be in this calm. So you have your repent or return, which is turning from self-reliance, this rest, this deep settled state, this deep calm state that only can come from actually resting in him. It actually leads to salvation, which is God defends you, God delivers you, and God rescues you. So he literally gives you the process of receiving his salvation in your circumstances. Hear this. This is super important. Rest is a form of dependence on God. So rest is a form of dependence on God. So when you rest and you pull away from everything you're grinding, you're actually allowing God to be God in your life, and God's going to work in those circumstances and situations. How many of y'all honor the Sabbath and take the Sabbath once a week for 24 hours or so? A couple hands here and there, some hands not. All right, good. Yeah, sounds like that's their first day. Good. So when you actually Sabbath and you pull away from grinding, God gives you rest, and moreover, God works in your circumstances beyond what you can do when you rest. Here's the key, is to actually live from a place of rest. So if you can come to the place where you live from a place of rest, then you'll receive, you got the kids in the background, they're like, what's going on? If you can live from a place of rest, and it talks about this in Hebrews, that Jesus invites you to enter his rest. So when you enter with Jesus, you're going to receive his rest. So salvation in your circumstances comes from humbling yourself before God and depending on his character. So remember how I literally had to get on my face for like an hour before he spoke to me? So you got to humble yourself before God. And when you do that, he'll speak. And he's going to reveal his character to you. Do you know how he received me in that time, at that 2 hours just being on my face? He invited me in. He had this hospitality. Come be with me. I need you to rest so I can speak to you. Here's the other part. He says, in quietness and trust is your strength. So quietness, what this means is a settled calm from hostile forces. It's when fears are silenced and God's corrective hand is lifted from your life. So it's basically when God begins to move in your circumstances apart from you, he begins to shift things. That's the quietness. And the trust is trusting in God's character. Did you read the end of verse 15? He said to Israel, but you would have none of it. So, but Israel. So let's jump into 16 and 17. We'll see what it says. It says, you said, no, we're going to get our help from Egypt. They're going to give us swift horses for riding into battle. The only swiftness you're going to see is the swiftness of your enemies chasing you. One of them will chase 1,000 of you, and 5 will make you all flee. You'll be left like a lonely flagpole on a hill or a tattered banner on a distant mountaintop. God said, you're going to get wrecked. Like, if you go your own way and try and do it yourself in your own strength, how many of y'all turn to, like, reading self-help books and all types of things to try and figure it out? Like, that's one of those things, right? And as we were talking about over here, some people were. So if we turn to these other sources before we say, God, what is your wisdom? We're going to end up like that lonely flagpole on the hill. God's going to let us get wrecked. And did you notice that God let them get wrecked? Like, they went their own way. He says, if you're going to choose your own way, you're going to get what it is that you're going after. So Israel explicitly went against God's way to get help from Egypt. So they turned to politics and they turned to weapons for their salvation. Did you know that when you turn away from God's way, the scriptures call that disobedience, and scriptures call that rebellion? Do you remember who rebelled in the beginning of creation? Satan. Didn't go well for him. And then when Adam and Eve rebelled, didn't go well for them. So God takes rebellion super seriously. So when you're disobedient to God in your life, either directly from the word or the spirit-led guidance he gives you, you actually step into a form of rebellion, and you can actually lose, or God will remove his protective covering over your life. So if you feel like you're getting wrecked, you got to ask the question, if I've been being disobedient, have I rebelled against God? Have I done it my own way? So if you turn to another source to save you, you're going to get basically that source's solution. But if you turn to God, you get God's solution. And notice in this passage, there's this concept of waiting. So God isn't going to always respond right away. Like, we've been going through it in my family for just the past couple days, and I've been going through it for like 4 weeks of just intense spiritual warfare. And I feel like the moment, like, I get back on my feet, I can't catch a break. And I get hit again. I'm like, God, you told me to rest and I can't catch a break. You know what I think I need to do more? Is just get on my face and say, okay, I'm resting. I'm coming in you. Because remember, Assyria was coming. The battle was coming. But he still told them to rest and to be quiet. So when you guys have spiritual warfare going on in your life, sometimes you're called to use your authority and to stand against it and speak against it. It's in scripture. We see Jesus say that in the New Testament. And we see here, when warfare is coming, sometimes you just got to get on your face. Because who's going to fight for you in the midst of the warfare? The Lord. Yeah, God's going to fight for you. So there's other instances, like the book of Kings. There were some kings that an army was coming, and they would humble themselves in fasting and prayer. And you know what would happen? God would show up in all these crazy ways and destroy the army. And like, they didn't even have to fight most of the time. So God actually wants to fight for you. And to make that happen, you have to align yourself with God with how he does that. You have to do it his way. And I'll tell you this. Man, God's way, when he gives you guidance in your circumstances in your life, it's often harder than going to making your own solution. Because your flesh will want to do it this way, right? At least according to the flesh, it's going to be harder. Because God's way requires faith, it requires sacrifice, and it requires obedience. But I'll tell you this, God's way is worth it. If you go God's way, you will be led into the abundant life that Jesus promises you in John 10:10. All right, look at verse 18 as we wrap up. So the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God, and blessed are those who wait for his help. Do you notice that God is actually waiting for you to come to him? So God is waiting for you to turn, to get on your knees, to humble yourself, to come to him. And did you see that God's character, what was written there? His love, his compassion, and his faithfulness. Guys, truth matters. Truth really does matter. And what you believe about God matters. Because if you believe that God is mad at you, he doesn't want anything to do with you, and he's not going to help you, that truth will become your reality, a deception. And Satan will use that against you. But if you say, no, the scriptures say if I come to God, he's going to give me love, compassion, he's going to show me his faithfulness. Then that's who you'll receive. You'll receive the God based on truth of the word. Sometimes there's this lie. Well, God doesn't really care if, right? If oh, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna slip up this one time, or I'm gonna take this shortcut and just do it my own way. I'm gonna not take the way of character or integrity. But that lie gets you tied up like Egypt got tied up, or excuse me, Israel got tied up with Egypt, and led to their destruction. And it says that you gotta wait on God. Literally, you have to go before Him and wait. So when we were on Friday night, when we had that hour of just waiting on God in silence, He was speaking to people in the room individually. It was super powerful. So if you got a decision you have to make in your life, and you just kind of keep doing, you just keep going in the bulldozer and saying, "Oh God, I hope you talk to me as I keep doing everything I'm supposed to be doing," like most likely the scriptures say here, He's not going to be speaking to you. It says He's waiting for you to come to Him and wait on Him. This is why it's so important, and I encourage everyone, like, take a prayer retreat, like either a day, or like if you can do three days and pull away. And I know people have kids and stuff. Like Meredith and I, we balance it. I'll take the kids while she goes, and then vice versa. Or find people to watch your kids. If you're single in this season, or you don't have kids, like, yes, lean into it, because this is the time you can put down the roots in Jesus deeper than you probably can in other seasons of life. I got parents over here with young kids shaking their heads of like, yeah, we know how it is. So y'all are single, like, really seek Jesus with everything that you got. And then when you're married and everything, have kids, don't ever stop. Go farther and go harder after Jesus by waiting on Him and withdrawing to be with Him. So there's purpose and process in the waiting and the resting. Do you know what's going on during that time? God is doing the inner work in you. Because oftentimes he's going to say, hey, you've been doing this in your own strength. You've been doing this in your own abilities, trying to come up with these creative solutions or make it happen on your own. But He says, come to me. I need to work that out in you so that you can depend on me, and I'm going to make a way for you. So the importance of Sabbath, taking that 24-hour slot like each week and just withdrawing from all work, right? So if you work Monday through Friday, hey, you got 2 days on the weekend, you can make one of them your Sabbath, right? For me, my Sabbath is Thursdays, just through the way of like church planting flow. So basically Friday through Wednesday I'm working, but Thursday is my Sabbath. So finding when is your Sabbath rest, that 24-hour space where you could withdraw from work and be with Jesus and be with family and do things that are life-giving for you. All right, I want to tell you something that God has shown me through this revelation, through understanding, and this will help you frame up what God is doing in your life. So you're going to have a time of like warfare and contending, right? So God is wanting to advance you in your life for His kingdom and gospel purposes. JR was talking about this earlier. So here's the first phase after that. It's breakthrough. So you're going to have a time of breakthrough that will happen after a time of contending in spiritual warfare. So you'll have breakthrough. And then after you have breakthrough, you have harvest. So breakthrough will lead to harvest. Because y'all, some of you were around. Remember we were at Dalton Park and they like shut us down. And then we had that witchcraft doll thrown in front of our house. And I showed you all the picture. If you haven't seen that, I can show you. And it was like, we had 5 weeks of just the most insane warfare we've ever like faced in our family. It was crazy. But after the 5 weeks, you know what happened? Breakthrough. And then we began to have our biggest harvest we've ever had. God has moved in such incredible ways. So you're going to contend in spiritual warfare. You're going to hit your breakthrough. You're going to have your harvest. After you have your harvest, the Father is going to prune you. Because you produce so much fruit, He's going to need to prune you back so you'll be even more fruitful in that season. And we were in John 15 for a while. But you know pruning hurts, right? The Father is going to prune you back. And then after He prunes you, you know He's going to do, because He's compassionate, He's loving, He's faithful, He's going to give you a season of rest. So lean into the rest. When God says rest, this is what, and I'm trying to live this out myself, to be honest with you. So I'm wrestling with this personally as I'm growing. We need our seasons of rest, because you know what comes after rest? Seasons of warfare, right? So He says, you're going to need the rest. If you don't rest and you do your own way, He's going to say, you're going to be so tired in the season of warfare that's coming. Because remember, then breakthrough comes, then harvest, then pruning, then rest. Breakthrough, harvest, pruning, and rest. So, for you, you can raise your hand if you want. Like, I'm totally in like a rest season right now. Like, I'm in rest. But how many of you feel like you're in the warfare season, pressing in for breakthrough?
Yeah, that's
okay, like almost, yeah, everyone's hands like went up, right? How many of you felt like you've just got your breakthrough? Anyone there yet? Okay, yeah, a couple of you got their breakthrough. How many of you feel like you're in a harvest season, like God is just producing all this fruit through your life and really showing up? Okay, a few. Yeah, how many of you feel like you're getting pruned? I thought they had a big handful, right? How many of you feel like you went through all that and you're in your rest season? Yeah. Like, so there, you could see where you're at in that process. And I've seen this now take place enough times where I've recognized this cycle. And we've actually been studying the scriptures and seeing that from John 15 and seeing this in here in Isaiah. So God wants to give you rest. Here's what's going to come against your rest is religion. Religion's going to come against your rest and say, nah, you need to keep working harder to earn XYZ from God. Or you need to do enough of these things to be able to get this in your life, which works against grace. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to hand out this PDF, and I'll throw it online for those that are listening. You can download the PDF. And it's basically a religion compared to the gospel. Religion compared to the gospel. So as you read through the different columns, religion and gospel, how many of you on the religion side felt like, oh yeah, I can see some of that in my life? Yeah. How many on the gospel side felt like drawn to some of them? And you're like, oh man, I need that in my heart in there. Yeah. What I found the way we get the gospel in our heart more is just being in Jesus' presence. Because when we're in his presence and he comes and he speaks to us or he touches us with his love, it transforms us from the inside out. Because religion would say, you need to achieve or do all these things to get what the gospel is saying. But the gospel is simply received because it's grace. It's a free gift given to us that we can't achieve in any way. We simply receive it as a gift. And that's what grace is. That's what the gospel is. That's who Jesus is in our hearts, in our lives, when we surrender to him. So I want to invite you into God's rest. God is saying, rest in me. Find that deep rest. And for some of you, that literally may mean just like literally sitting there on the couch with no phone, put your phone somewhere else, like on do not disturb or turn it off, throw it in some other room, and just sit there and just be with him. Or go to like the LA Arboretum or some place where you could just go and just hang out with God and just rest. Or pull away on a retreat overnight if you can and just rest in him. I've often found it's in the times of rest he'll speak. So if you're needing God to speak to you in your life, it's you gotta go rest in him and he'll speak to you. He'll be drawn to you. His presence will come. So let's do this. Let's take a few minutes just literally to rest. So I'd encourage you, like if you have something in your hands or your lap, to like set it aside so you literally don't have, if you're feeding a baby, I mean, you keep your baby there and feed your baby, right? But everybody else, you don't gotta pass on this one, right? So take everything out of your hands. It's intentional because when you have something in your hands, you're working in a way. But when you have your hands open to Jesus, you don't have anything in them, like you have nothing to give, you can only receive. So I just wanna invite you, take a few minutes to rest. And if you're falling asleep when we're doing this, I mean, it's an indicator of like, if you have a newborn, that's totally different, so you're exempt. But if you don't, like, it's showing you like you need to fix your sleep pattern so you're always fresh with God, right? So if you're falling asleep now, like, it'll affect your prayer life. So take a few minutes now just to rest in Jesus. Jesus, thank you for inviting us into your rest, that we can cease all of our striving, all of our achievements, all of our clever approaches, and we can just simply sit with you. Would you strip away everything that causes us to turn from rest and to figure it out on our own or come up with our own solutions? Jesus, teach us to be quiet before you and to trust you, to return to you and repent, and to remain in you, Jesus. We thank you that when we come to you, you come and meet with us. And that you are a God who is loving and compassionate and faithful. So I pray, Jesus, that you would release grace here over every person's life to come into your rest and to live from a place of rest, to honor the Sabbath, because we know that you give us a Sabbath so that we can rest. And you set the example by creating the world in 6 days and resting on the seventh. So we ask for your grace, Jesus. And would your grace remove all the lies of religion and replace it with the truth of who you are, Jesus, in the gospel, in your love for us. So Jesus, as we look to the new week that you've created for us, we thank you that from this place of rest we can live for you, abiding and remaining in you, Jesus, and that you would produce much fruit, and fruit that will last for your kingdom and for the gospel, with people coming to know you for the first time, discipling others and starting new churches. And I pray, Jesus, for a renewal of your people here, that you would restore your people, recharge their batteries, fill them to overflow, living from a place of rest. So I declare a blessing of rest over you in Jesus' name, a refreshing of your soul and your spirit, a renewing of your body. Thank you, Jesus, that you're with us. We rest in you. In your name, amen.